Well, hi there, it's Matthew Blades, and welcome to another episode of Learn From People Who Lived It. We're going to get right into today's episode, which is about ketamine infusions, to be exact. A good friend of mine, Chad McLean, and his wife, Carrie McLean, they own and operate the apparel brand called Mental Joe Apparel, where a big part of their mission is serving veterans with non-traditional therapies. And one of those therapies is psychedelics. It's been proven to help men and women with severe PTSD. Of course, there's more to learn. Of course, it's not the right thing for everybody. But today on the podcast, I will be going down to Enlighten Wellness to visit with Sandy and get a ketamine infusion for myself. So let's see how things turn out. First, a quick word from one of our resource partners.
At Mental Joe, they sell more than shirts. They sell apparel with a purpose. In fact, my favorite hoodie in my closet is a Mental Joe hoodie. They help out G.I. Joes to the average Joes one t-shirt at a time. With every purchase, you help them support organizations that can provide services to help others get out of their heads and into their bodies through plant medicines, equine therapy, yoga, and other non-traditional mental health treatments. Link to them, pick out your favorite t-shirt or hoodie right now at learnfrompeoplewholivedit.com/resources.
Looking for no bullshit conversation about mental health? Find Learn From People Who Lived It wherever you get podcasts. Search it using all one word. Learn From People Who Lived It.
Welcome to another episode of Learn From People Who Lived It.
Well, welcome to another episode of Learn From People Who Lived It. We are in the chair today, and I'm getting ready for one unbelievable experience. I'm not alone. I'm in this room called the Cherry Blossom Room, and what I'm looking at right now is what looks to be about, I don't know, a 6x6 painting of cherry blossoms. I've got this nice sort of Asian, what do you call this, Sandy?
It's like a screen.
Yeah, kind of right behind me. I picked out this room because it felt really comfortable. We are inside Enlighten.
Yes.
And Sandy, you are the founder, owner, creator, president, CEO.
I'm all of it.
Janitor.
Yep.
All the things, aren't you?
I'm all of it.
Oh my God. I'm so excited about this. So what I'm going to be doing today, friends, is going in and having my first ketamine ceremony. And it's something that has interested me for a really long time. Mm-hmm. You and I have some mutual friends in the McLeans who have been through your center and had this done before. And so, okay, let's start with some natural questions first, okay?
Please.
Like, what is ketamine? Yeah. Why are people using it? What are they using it for? How might this benefit me? We can shake all that stuff out. So let me start at the beginning. How did you get into this?
Yeah, well, I was an emergency medicine physician for 15 years, level one trauma center, medical director, all the things. And I started doing my own healing work with psychedelics. Started with psilocybin, then went to ayahuasca, and then, you know, ketamine, all the things. And as I did my deep healing, I recognized that we all have such deep wounds that we don't heal. And so in order to heal those wounds, we have to do something different than what we've been doing. And so for me, psychedelics is what worked, and that's what I was called to do, was to share this gift with others. And ketamine, being a legal medicine as a physician that I can utilize, that was the avenue that opened up for me. And then I learned more about ketamine and how beautiful the medicine truly is.
So ketamine is used in hospitals all over the world.
Yes.
But for a very different purpose usually, right?
Yes.
Explain how it's used in traditional medicine.
Yeah, so it's used as a dissociative anesthetic. And so it's used in the operating room, in the emergency department, in order to do procedures that are painful that you don't want to be awake for.
Got it.
So at much higher doses, you give the medicine and it's very safe. You don't stop breathing. Your heart rate doesn't lower. Your blood pressure doesn't drop. And so they can use it safely throughout the world in countries where you may not be able to afford to put someone on a ventilator for their maybe appendectomy. You can use ketamine and safely do the procedure without them, you know.
So how much ketamine gets used in like a surgery setting versus how much medicine we're going to use today for something like this?
Yeah. So for dosing parameters, it's based on kilogram body weight. So say in the emergency department, we're doing a procedure that's really painful. We're going to give you roughly 2 to 4 milligrams per kilogram. Here, we're going to start at 0.35 milligrams per kilogram and rarely get up to 1 milligram per kilogram.
Got it.
So very much lower doses.
So what have, I mean, I wonder who discovered that at low doses, this could be something special.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where it actually first started, but they were using it in Vietnam in the field and using it to safely extricate them, you know, because morphine, all that other stuff had side effects. So they're using ketamine and they were getting them out painlessly. And then they were recognizing when they came back, they weren't having PTSD, whereas the other people were. So they're like, huh, what's this? And then people coming out of surgery who had depression, their surgery, after that surgery, the depression was lifting and they're like, what is this?
How so then they fascinating, started doing the studies. Right?
Yeah. So fascinating.
So one of the reasons my wife and I were driving up here today and she was asking me, she was like, well, what are you hoping to get out of this? And I said, well, by and large, I tend to enter these types of ceremonies with the most open mind. I feel like if I'm looking for something, I don't know. I don't want to be disappointed by that. And I found that it's just better to be wide open and then let what shows up show up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But if there is one thing I'm interested in, mm-hmm. it is the PTS component mm-hmm. of it, because when I was 23 years old, I witnessed the death of my father. Mm-hmm. And people who listen to my podcast, they know that when I was 23, I tried to save his life and I couldn't. And as a result, like, there was a long lasting mark that was left on me in my mind. And, you know, not just me, but my brother and my mom who were there as well. Yeah. And from what I gather, this PTS business, mm-hmm. it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
It really becomes about managing it, figuring out how you're going to live with it. But now we're learning that with psychedelics, we might start to reprogram the brain in a way
yes.
that we might be able to put it in the rear view mirror. Yeah. So you're shaking your head. Absolutely. Yes. Tell me what you know about yeah. that and why people who suffer from PTS mm-hmm. might mm-hmm. have or might want to consider this as an option.
Yeah. Yeah. So biochemically, how it works is it does create new neural networks in your brain. So neurons that were not talking to neurons before now talk to each other. And you're also creating new neurons. So new brain cells talking to each other in a way they never were. And then they shut off what's called the default mode network. So that is our repetitive, obsessive thought pattern. Maybe it's that PTS experience. Maybe it's I'm not good enough. Maybe it's, you know, the world is out to get me. I'm never safe. Whatever that is, it slows that part of the brain down and opens up new ways of thinking. So biochemically, that's how it works. Well, then you also get a psychedelic-like experience that maybe you reprocess that trauma that occurred, and now it doesn't have the same meaning. And you get to see how it then led to every other thing in your life, and that you don't have to hold on to it anymore, that you can actually let go of it.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's the beauty of it.
So 3 years ago, I left my radio career and I went mm-hmm. to a retreat up in Sedona mm-hmm. where I didn't use any medicines, mm-hmm. but I did a lot of this work that you're talking about. Yeah. A lot of this, like yeah. What I call and what they call inner child work, mm-hmm. where, mm-hmm. And let me tell you the story really quick. So mm-hmm. one of the things that I did that was the most mm-hmm. powerful was I had a ceremony with a healer, and mm-hmm. basically we were closing our eyes, we were in a room talking, and he mm-hmm. said, you know, okay, I want you and your higher self mm-hmm. to come with me, and we're going to go to a room, and when we open up this door, the 23-year-old you who witnessed mm-hmm. this thing is going to be sitting in there, mm-hmm. and you and your higher self are going to go sit next to him, and you're going to let him off the hook. Mm-hmm. You're going to tell him everything he needs to hear,
yeah.
and you're going to assure him that, you know, he did everything that he possibly could. Mm-hmm. You're going to let him know that the way that he's been keeping you alive all of these years has been appreciated, but it's no longer needed. Mm-hmm. You're basically going to fire this guy, right?
Right.
You're going to
yeah.
let him go
yeah.
and set him down. And now it's a huge piece of what I help people try to understand.
Yeah.
Is like, you may not think that this little tiny thing from your past is weighing you down, but if you have to carry that everywhere you go,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, there's no other way to put it. It is weighing you down.
It is.
It's a distraction. It's something you have mm-hmm. to carry. And what could you get done in life if you set some of those things down and they weren't present in your operating system anymore?
Absolutely.
So I'm here. This is my like way of saying I'm here for this.
Yeah.
I don't know what's left for me to set down, mm-hmm. but I can't wait to find out.
Yeah.
Right? That's how I'm entering this room.
Exactly. It's beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other beautiful part of ketamine too is that it takes you out of your body, which also takes you away from your ego. And your ego is what tries to control you and keep you in a box that says you're not safe if you step outside of this box. Mm. But it's so not true. Right. The liberation when you actually allow yourself to step outside of the box of the ego is, again, just shedding layers and layers of weight.
Okay.
Off of you.
Here's where I want to move to next.
Yes.
There are a lot of people who grew up in, my wife's one of them. Mm-hmm. She grew up in the DARE program and mm-hmm. she grew up in the don't mm-hmm. do drugs.
Yep.
You know, she's in that's yep. deeply embedded in her. And
yes.
I know that there's other people. We've had Carrie McLean on this podcast mm-hmm. before, Chad McLean on this podcast before. And both of them weren't people who were looking to explore with any type mm-hmm. of drugs, yeah. right?
Right.
But you can't ignore the progress that both of those two
yes.
have made and
yeah.
what it's done for them. So
yeah.
I'm quick to say that psychedelics aren't for everybody. They're for the right people.
Correct.
And there is a group of people who should never touch this stuff,
correct.
Right? People who deal with bipolar, schizophrenia, some of these mental illness conditions. From what I've learned along the way, mm-hmm. these folks should never they shouldn't touch it. Or if they touch it, they should be around somebody who really knows what they're doing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The schizophrenia, the bipolar with a caveat, the bipolar, if it's mania predominant, then you should stay away from it.
Okay.
However, it's depression predominant, then you're okay.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you think people fear it?
Yeah. It's the unknown
is
the biggest
is?
One. The unknown is the biggest one. Number two was the smear campaign, right? That ketamine and other psychedelics have been under since the 60s, 50s, whenever, you
right.
know, Nixon and all that stuff. It's fear. It's fear tactics because they didn't understand it. And so therefore, what do we do with something we don't understand? We make up stuff that makes
right.
it seem dangerous and scary and bad and evil and all these things. So, I mean, that's really the biggest thing is programming.
What's the worst thing that could happen for somebody that does a ketamine experience like this?
That's, you could get nauseated, vomit, have a headache, feel you know, pretty miserable for a little few hours after. It could be scary. Sure, you can have a scary thing come up, like maybe you're reprocessing that trauma again in a way that is really uncomfortable.
Mm.
However, if you're guided correctly, like in a safe space like here,
yes.
with a good intention, with
yeah.
someone sitting with you, you recognize you can navigate through it. And on the other side of that is, again, is another weight being pulled off. So worst case scenario, you didn't enjoy your experience and you don't come back and you don't get the healing that you want.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's
I mean,
fair, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, we roll
yeah.
that dice anywhere we go.
Right. Exactly.
You walk
exactly.
into a store to buy a new
yeah.
outfit and they don't have
yeah.
what you want. You leave disappointed, right? Like
exactly.
it happens to us all
yes.
the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, you know, you got medical things that could happen to this person, that person, but that's why we screen people so that we don't take someone who could have a risk of something happening.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've got an eye mask and I've
mm-hmm.
got a journal.
Mm-hmm.
I know the eye mask is probably just to what? Keep
your eyes closed.
Keep my eyes closed.
Yeah, the medicine will make your eyes do kind of wonky things, and so it could give you kind of double vision or make you feel dizzy if you opened your eyes, which then would make you nauseated. Takes away from the experience, so that's why the eyes must be closed.
Okay, and then the journal. What are we doing with the
journal? So if you talk during your journey, I am going to write down what you say because these are beautiful pearls of wisdom that your inner intelligence are telling me to write down for you so that you can reflect on it later. And then as we're processing after your journey, you're still not going to be ready to write. So I'm like your journal keeper. I'm your scribe. We're going to write down so that you can process after.
Why do you do this?
Because it's helpful. Most places don't do that. They're not even in the room with you. And so we want you to capture these things because there are some things maybe you may not remember as clearly, you know, after the journey settles. And so you want to have those things in the paper so that you can reflect back and you're like, oh yeah, I don't want to lose that.
Hmm.
I want to keep that pearl of wisdom and bring it into my everyday life.
Okay.
So we want the journey with you. And then you take the pieces that resonate with you and that will weave their way into making changes in your life.
Huh.
So we capture them for you.
What have you seen happen?
Oh, amazing things.
Talk to me about some of these experiences,
yeah.
some of the profound things you've witnessed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the one that comes to mind is one of our most profound transformations. And literally this man had such anxiety, he couldn't hardly leave his house. he had to be drunk in order to go to the bar because then he could actually interact with people. He couldn't make phone calls. He had a service dog that had to go with him everywhere. He was so tremulous. The shaking, his energy was off the charts when I first met him. His very first journey, he experienced some of his traumas in a way that made him scream out loud, like cursing and going through these things. However, after it, he's like, wow, I feel like I just lifted a heavy backpack off my back with bricks in it. He's like, and I'm telling you about these things, and I could have never told anyone about this without like having a panic attack. And he's had 5 treatments, not even his 6th yet. And he is a totally different person. He has no tremors anymore. He goes out all the time. He hangs out with people. He goes to the store. He makes phone calls. And the most beautiful thing was his daughter came to us at an event and said, thanks for giving me my dad back. So how could you not?
Like, all right. You know, well, walk me through what we're getting ready to experience here
today. Yeah. Well, what we're going to do today is we're going to open the space a little bit with you're going to state your intention to me. We're going to write your intention down on this piece of paper. We're going to draw a little card from this deck. It's just a one-word thing, which usually adds very lovely to your intention or to our conversation or what might come through. We're going to hold the medicine. You're going to hold the medicine in your hands. You're going to put your prayer, your blessing, your gratitude, your intention, whatever you want to in the medicine. I'm going to do the same. We're going to get you super comfy cozy in this zero-gravity recliner. We're going to get your blankets, pillows, all the things. Put your eye mask on. We're going to put your headphones on, start some music that I curate all the playlists and we pick them for you each journey. We're going to give you a shot in the arm. 3 to 5 minutes, you're going to be taking off into this space that you've never been before. You're going to be hanging out there for about 30 minutes. You're going to feel yourself come back out of the medicine. You're going to let me know when that happens. I'm going to offer another shot if the timing is right and you want another shot. We're going to give you a second shot. You're going to go back into that space for another roughly 30 minutes. When you come back out, we're going to take your headphones off. We're going to leave your eye mask on because your eyes won't be ready yet. And we're going to chat about your journey. And during that time, if you get anxious, if you need support, you're going to hold out a hand. I'm going to hold your hand. If I feel like you're anxious, I'm going to do what I can to calm you down. And we're going to get you through it. And you're going to be comfortable the whole time. And then we're going to talk about your experience.
That's cool. The nerves have just started, right? Totally. In my stomach. It's this idea of like, well, what's getting ready to happen? And you know, one of the cool things that I think I witnessed myself was we sometimes need to scream and yell and let some things off our chest, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember... let me just share a quick story. We were getting ready to do these really incredible retreats up at an equine therapy farm. Mm-hmm. Not the one that we're working on now with our grief relief retreats, but it was a different one. And we wanted to do with exclusively with for veterans. Mm-hmm. And the place that we went to was run by a group of people that were a little like... they were a little uncomfortable because they weren't sure of the volatility of some of these vets as they cycled through some of their emotions, and they were fearful of like what that was going to look like. And we knew right then in that moment that that wasn't the right place for us. And so, you know, that was the last conversation we ever had with those folks. But the point of that story is that's the thing that we need to hold space for people to have that moment.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And coming from an ER background and then also having done a lot of deep work myself into the shadow realm, I encourage, like when someone's screaming, I know something deep is happening and I encourage it and I'm all for it. So
what do your neighbors think?
You know what? They know what we do. And most of the time they don't hear us, even if they're screaming. So even better because there's a bathroom right there.
Okay. So at what point do we like get into what we're going to do today?
Yeah. As soon as you're ready, then I'll like, we'll start the process.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do, the plan is, tell me if you think this makes sense. The plan is I'm going to put on a different microphone to just sort of mic me up for this whole thing. I won't have a microphone on you.
Perfect.
And then we will just go through the ceremony. And then for those of you who are listening, you know, you'll just have to, you'll pick up what's in the room.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what's our first protocol is going to be drawing a card or?
The first, you'll talk about your intention. You'll state your intention out loud. I'm going to write it down.
Okay.
And then we'll draw the card.
Okay. So after a quick bathroom break. We went back into the room. I got mic'd up. I set my intentions to discover where the root of addiction comes from me. I also wanted to understand if there were moments from the witnessing of my father's death back in 1996 that were still holding me back. And that was really it. Those are the two things that I was really there to untangle or see or get a little bit more clarity on. And interestingly enough, the card that I drew from her deck was the card of intention. And so, I didn't know what to think at that time, but just a few minutes later, we were in a position where she was getting ready to inject me with the ketamine shot, and I was getting ready to jump on my journey. So, mask on, music playing, aromatherapy in the room, the weighted blanket on me, perfect headrest, and my eye mask on. She injects the shot, and about 2 minutes later, I declare...
Everything's kicking in.
And from then on, the journey starts. And what I'm getting ready to play for you over the next 5 minutes or so are clips from the journey. And what you're going to hear is just a lot of deep breathing. And it was wild to go through the experience and then sort of now try to talk you through what I went through, because I just felt like I was relaxing even more and even more and even more and even more. And it was such a blissful, magical feeling that I went through. And there were these moments during the process where I was spitting what most people would call gibberish. And she even made a note about it in my journal. She said, you made these noises that didn't seem like they were of our language, of any, you know, language that anybody even speaks. And what's interesting about that is my wife made the comment on the way home that sometimes I'll do that in my sleep. I'll say these little bits of gibberish and nobody knows what they mean. I don't even know what they mean. What I can tell you is that in my head, I'm having like some conversation, but I can't seem to form the words or get them out properly. And it does sort of sound like just this, you know? So here, let's listen together to some of the journey. And again, I'm not going to bore you with all the breathing, but here's a few minutes of what took place. And then toward the end of it, her and I are going to enter a dialogue about my experience. So here we go. Okay, that gives you a little bit of a snapshot. And so I did breathing like that. I made those mumble noises like that for, she actually timestamped this. So at 2:36, I got the ketamine injection. At 2:38 is when I announced that everything is kicking in. At 2:57, I raised my arms up and out to the side and my palms went open. I sort of remember doing that. And then nearly an hour later, she checked in and she says,
"How's it going in there?"
"I just think I'm on a ride."
"Are you still on the ride?"
"I am."
"Yeah, okay. You just keep riding then and tell me, you just take the headphones off or tell me when you're done."
"Okay."
25 minutes later, I took the headphones off with a deep sigh. Tried to get my faculties together and just settle back into the real world. And here is an excerpt from our conversation following... Or I guess as I'm waking up.
"Well, hello there."
"I don't know what I expected, but that was not it. I mean, I still feel so disconnected from my body."
"Really? Crazy. It's been an hour and like 14 minutes.
"Are you insane?"
"No."
"I have a whole, like, I'm vibrating on a completely different level right now. I don't even feel like myself."
"Did you see things or have feelings or downloads?"
No, I just, I don't know how to explain it other than I just let myself go wherever I needed to. I don't think I'll need another shot.
No, you don't.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, and I'm still right, I'm still in it. Yeah, I don't know how somebody could cycle through this in 30 minutes.
Yeah, most people do. Or less, some of them.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I probably could be here for another hour.
Yeah, you're sensitive to medicine, maybe. Who knows?
Well, I am very sensitive to medicine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just kind of feel whole body like a buzz. But I didn't really see much. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still am. I just still feel like I'm vibrating. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I laid here thinking, what am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to think? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the point of it is that you're just not supposed to. Mm-hmm. Like, just be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just go where it takes you.
Yeah.
I mean, I had no recollections of, like, my dad or mom or brothers or sisters. The only people I saw were, saw myself as a little boy once.
Mm-hmm. Any scenario around that?
It was just this thought of, why can't we just be happy? This thought of, like, I just want to just be free, just love, just, man, I'm still really buzzing. Is there something I should be doing right now?
No, just chilling. Just waiting for your body to be ready to function again.
Well, about another 15 minutes later, I did feel like myself again, and we welcomed my wife back into the room, and her, Sandy, and myself continued to visit, just make some small talk for a little while. And I'll download with you on this episode in just a second. But one of the questions that I asked Sandy was, so who's the ideal client for Enlighten?
Yeah, anyone struggling.
That's it,
to
really.
Be honest. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of our clients have struggled with, you know, feelings of anxiety, feelings of depression, PTS, you know, maybe it's an addiction component to things as well. But really anyone who's looking to have more peace in their life and to learn more about who they truly are.
So that begs the question, did I truly learn more about who I was yesterday? And I think it's too soon for me to tell. She mentioned to me that, you know, it might take a week for me to sort of integrate what happened yesterday into my life, but I will tell you that I'm recording this portion of the podcast the day after. And this morning I had breakfast with a good friend of mine. I was telling him about my ketamine journey that I went on yesterday, and I kind of explained it like this. He said, what it did for me was it settled me down. It opened me up. It gave me a little bit more clarity on what's important in my life. And in a lot of ways, I can't sit here and tell you that it was so profound that it changed my world and everything that I'm going to do in it. But I'm also at a stage in my healing journey where I'm not looking for that. 3 years ago, when I went on that retreat up in Sedona, that's where most of my big shifting took place. That's where I was really able to do the deep and heavyweight inner child work, work on those old wounds from my past, and help to kind of set those things down. And if anything happened yesterday, it solidified even more that the path that I'm on is absolutely perfect for me. And this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And if there's one thing that I did learn from yesterday's experience with ketamine, it's that if I truly just want to be happy, then I must start doing the things that make me happy. And I have to stop filling my life up with meaningless content that doesn't help me in any way, shape, or form. Because as I've said a million times in this podcast, I have this personality defect, if you will, that kind of is this thought of, I am the value of my productivity, or the things that I do equal my value and my worth. And yesterday's ceremony taught me that couldn't be further from the truth. And so let me say to you right now, as you're listening to this podcast, because it's what I said to my friend this morning as we were eating. I said, man, so many of us fill up our days with all this junk and all this garbage and all these people that don't make any sense for us or don't truly help us get to where we want to go. And it's time for us to start asking the question, why? Why do you do this to yourself? You have this beautiful, bold vision of what your life can look like, and you stay on the sidelines, and you wait for things to happen. But that's not how it works, is it? If we want something, we got to go get it. If we want a better relationship with our wife, with our husband, with our boyfriends and girlfriends, we got to make some effort. If we want a better relationship with our kids, got to make some effort. If we hate the job we're in right now and we want to do something different, we've got to make some effort. Many thanks to Sandy and her team at Enlighten Wellness. I've got two more ketamine treatments coming up. I can't promise that I'm going to record those, but if I do, I'll bring them to you. And I'm excited to see where this journey takes me. She said, every experience is different. And I can't wait to see if she's right. Thank you for listening to Learn From People Who Lived It. And if you want to connect with Sandy and her team, if ketamine and my journey spoke to you, I would encourage you wholeheartedly to reach out to Sandy and Enlighten Wellness. The experience there couldn't have been better. I couldn't have felt more safe. I couldn't have felt more trust for her and her team and the experience that they put me through. Thanks for listening to Learn From People Who Lived It. We'll see you next week.
We have three goals with Learn From People Who Lived It. 1, to help you feel less alone. 2, encourage you to seek out a coach, a therapist, a church, anyone who can help you get through your journey and find some healing. 3, when you're ready, share your story with us.
Find Learn From People Who Lived It wherever you get podcast. Search it using all one word, Learn From People Who Lived It.
You've probably heard me say this before, but most of the things that kill us are preventable, and that's exactly why I put my heart in his hands, in his care. I'm talking about Dr. Robert Todd Hurst and HealthSpan MD. He's my cardiologist because I appreciate his holistic approach to heart health. There's nothing out there like HealthSpan MD, his AFib reversal program, his CAD reversal program. Get the link on the resources page at learnfrompeoplewholivedit.com.